Our scripture in Matthew today is chapter 25, and I'm going to read 1 through 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish one took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became very drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here comes the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the day or the hour will come." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. December is so busy. I know that I have some company here. When I say, did any of you experience yourself saying, "I know I came in here for something, now what was it?" Or maybe you said, "I'm supposed to be doing something and I can't remember what it is." We get so overwhelmed that sometimes we lose track of what is essential. This July, I will be a pastor for 42 years. I have done a lot of weddings. And I know from working with brides, one of the first things they do is decide who their bridesmaids are going to be. To be a bridesmaid is to receive a special blessing from the bride. They are saying to you that you mean something to me. And I know you're going to do your best to make my special day as special as possible. That's not always the case. But a bride that is chosen wisely will have bridesmaids that will show up on time, will have on their dress, and will do everything they can to make the day calm and joyful for the bride. But the bride in the story we hear today didn't choose too wisely, did she? She had 5 stand-up friends. But she had 5 friends that were kind of frivolous. They were probably very nice girls, but they really weren't prepared for her wedding day. You see, in the time of Jesus, it was kind of a game for the bridegroom to try to surprise the bridal party and catch them kind of unprepared. And they would do a parade through town. So when he did show up, the whole bridal party would come out and follow all the way to wherever they were having the wedding. And when they went in, this groom locked the doors. So if you got in with the groom, you were in good shape. But if you were tarrying, you got left out of one of the big events in the community that year. Nobody wanted to be left out of the wedding. Five of the girls just didn't think about the importance of that day. They didn't prepare enough oil. It'd be like showing up to the wedding and not having your bridesmaid dress. I mean, you can't go in your street clothes. You might look good in your street clothes, but you sure wouldn't fit in with the bridal party. I've seen everything. I've seen bridesmaids not show up. I've seen groomsmen not show up. I've seen them do just really outlandish, silly things that upset the bride and groom and make them more nervous than they already are. So I know they're always lurking around some silly bridesmaids. The reason we're thinking about them today is this is a new year, a gift God has given to you and to me. And it will hold important events and places for us to be God's witness. The question is, will we be ready? Will we be there not for our sakes, but to bless God? You know, the five foolish bridesmaids, when they realized the pickle they were in, they turned to their friends that were prepared and they said, "Can't you share some of your oil with us? To us, it sounds reasonable." But those girls were there to support the bride and the groom. And if they let their oil lamps go out, it would have been a total embarrassment for the bride's family. It was the bride and groom that were important, not their friends. And folks, sometimes to be a blessing to God, we're just not ready, are we? We put everything else and everybody else ahead of God. Well, today I want us to think about what we need to do. You know, I started out asking you, do you ever say, well, what was I supposed to be doing? We are always seeking something to help us grasp blessings. On our computers, when we don't know something, what do? We search Google, don't we? But the reality of Google, you'll get a lot of answers come up, but not all of them are accurate or true. But still, we trust Google. Or maybe we think that next person we marry or we date will be the answer to all our problems. Or that next job. Or that next church. Or maybe, heaven forbid, that next preacher will be just what we need. And then we will be truly, truly blessed. This New Year's, I want us to get the secret. It's not about what's out there that we can catch and bless us. It's about knowing that God has already blessed us with the light of His love. We don't have to capture it. We just have to live into it. We have to be the bridesmaids that had the oil and be the blessing. And you know what? If you see that the blessing is in you to live out throughout the year, then you'll be a blessing to others. And the joy in your life will grow and multiply. We didn't get to hear much about the wise men, and I love the story of the wise men, and I think we all do. It almost gets missed in the readings. The wise men were Gentiles. They weren't Jews, but they were men that studied theology and the constellations. And when something significant happened, they became curious about what was going to transpire. So when this amazing star came on the horizon and their divinations confirmed that this was significant, they decided they weren't just going to study about it, they were going to do something about it. So they started journeying. They knew a blessing was out there, and they wanted to see what it would be. They're like us. They thought someone significant was being born. So where do you go? The first place you go is where rich and powerful people live. They went to the palace of Herod. It was really a mistake, because Herod wasn't aware of what the star meant. And he got his people to study it. You see, Herod was only consumed with Herod. He was an evil, insecure, paranoid man that would go to any length to squash anyone who would threaten him. Herod, in his lifetime, had his favorite wife murdered many of his own family, murdered his wife's grandfather, her brothers, and some of his own children. Can you imagine the depth of depravity in that man? On one occasion, he had the whole Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jewish government, assassinated. On another occasion, he had every notable man in Jerusalem murdered. He was paranoid and had the power to act on his evil intents. He was even capable of murdering all the baby boys under two, which is why Mary and Joseph fled to Egypt. Folks, people like Herod are alive in our world. We know about it. We're very focused on ISIS. But there are other people as evil. Right now, as we sit in church, I promise you, in Colombia, there are probably four or five families where domestic violence is happening. When I was in seminary, I was a chaplain at DeKalb General Hospital, and I would go on Saturday, and my job was to help the families that were sitting in the waiting rooms, check on the patients, make sure they were all right. And one of the most horrific Saturdays I can remember experiencing at a hospital, the nurse came to me and she was upset. The whole staff, I could tell, was upset. But they had a young woman. Her husband was a police officer. He had beaten her so badly. She lay on the floor in her house for 3 days till her brave neighbor came over and found her. She was so badly beaten, you could not recognize any features on her face. She was black and blue. No nose, no eyes, just a mouth. Every bone in her face was broken. The nurses said, "Go in and talk to her. We want her to report him to the police, and she won't do it." I felt like the little mouse trying to run off the lion. I went into her room, and this woman lay on the gurney, and I was horrified by what I saw. And I said, "Won't you please let them call the police?" She started crying. She said, "You can't." She said, "He said he'd come back and he'd kill me and kill our child." Folks, there are people that do such evil things to the people they ought to love the most that we as Christians need to stand up and say we need to make a difference in their lives and in those homes. And don't think young children don't learn the negative consequences of that kind of behavior. I don't want to list all the evil that is out there, but I want to tell you what the wise men did. When they got to Bethlehem and they discovered this peasant baby in a stable with peasant parents, they recognized the blessing. And they immediately gave their gifts to honor this child. And probably the most important gift they gave the baby Christ was their silence and their willingness to risk their own death by leaving and not returning to Herod. Folks, we need to be the blessings in our community and see the blessings that God has put there, the opportunities for us to make a difference. The wise men did that, and they were Gentiles. They made it possible, probably, for Mary and Joseph to support themselves as they journeyed to Egypt. You see, I doubt Joseph carried his tools with him when he left their homeland to go to Bethlehem. They made life possible for this destitute young family, fleeing with their infant to protect him from the wrath of Herod. All of us are looking for something. Sometimes we don't know where to find it. Sometimes we don't know what to do. But the reality is, nothing is as important as finding the love of Christ in our own hearts and letting it shine out. Letting the world see it through us and being a blessing to others. I found a story that I thought had a lot of meaning for today. There was a farmer who had award-winning corn. Every year at the state fair, he'd win first place. So finally, a reporter was sent to find out things about him. The reporter asked him what his secret was. He said, "Well, I always share my best seed corn with my neighbors." The reporter was shocked. He said, "You're kidding me. They're competing against you. Why would you give them the best that you have?" "Well, yes, that's true, but didn't you know that the wind picks up pollen from the ripening corn and swirls it from field to field? If they grow inferior corn, they will cross-pollinate and will stunt and degrade the quality of my corn. If I can and want to grow good corn, I must help my neighbor grow good corn." You know, we're not here to go out and get blessings for ourselves. We're here to let the blessings we have glow and share with others. It is with our own lives, those who want to live meaningful lives and live well must help enrich the lives of others. For the value of a life is measured by the lives it touches. And those who choose to be happy must help others find happiness. For the welfare of each is bound up with the welfare of all. You know, I want to close. I'm not a big sports person. I like it some, but I just can't make myself sit down and watch ball games. I hate to tell you, but that's true. My brother was a fabulous athlete, so I watched his games, but I really haven't been following football much lately. Except I was curious about Dabo Swinney. Now, I'm not putting Dabo Swinney and Clemson over USC, but I just want to tell you something that I thought was pretty amazing that happened this last week. You know, Dabo Swinney is a strong Christian. And he sees beyond winning games. He sees team development, character development, and the young men under his squad as a primary importance. So I was surprised before the bowl game that he sat out three of his key players. They got themselves in some big trouble. Two are completely off the team, and one is on probation. I thought, oh, he's going to be eaten alive if Clemson loses. But lo and behold, they won. And someone told me today, after the game was over, he praised God for winning that game. Now, Debbie Carter and her family had a grandfather with that kind of character. He left his mark on this community and wherever he was. I don't care about which team is the best, but I wish there were multiples of Dabo Swinney. Would teach our young men something more than just winning games, but to be a blessing and to win at life. Those boys, most of them, will not go on to big buck careers in football, but they will have a quality life if they have a role model that blesses them with firm and clear rules of character and holds them to it. Folks, we need to be a blessing to get blessings. We can't sit back and feel sorry for ourselves. We need to step out in faith and say, Lord, I'm going to be a blessing and do the best I can to bless my church. And I know if I'm faithful, you are certainly faithful. So in this new year, let's see what God can do with our resolution to be a blessing. God bless each and every one of you. Amen and amen.